Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's book, Reignite. But first, here's the message, Comeback Faith.
Everybody loves a great comeback. Now, one of my favorite stories in all of the Bible since I was a little boy is the story of Samson. So in verse 32 of Hebrews chapter 11, we meet Samson. What more shall I say? For time would fail to tell of Gideon, Barak, and Samson. Samson. He had so much potential and so much power, but he threw it all away. God gave him such incredible strength, but he never quite until the very end understood the source of his strength. And as a result, he wasted it on self-indulgence and self-pleasure. It's so important that we not throw away the benefits of the blessings of God in our lives, lest we self-destruct. So many, like Samson, start so well and end so poorly. So many seem to crash and burn. And Samson is an example of how to fail in faith and yet come back. He squandered the resources that God had given him. He wasted his life in so many ways, so many regrets in Samson's life. And yet, by faith, he appears in the hall of heroes that we find in Hebrews chapter 11. Sometimes we look at the fall of an individual, the failure, the moral collapse, or the spiritual collapse of a friend. We've all known of pastors and preachers who, it seems, suddenly just collapse morally, or husbands who just like that walked out on their wives, or wives who turned away from their families, or families that seemingly have been just destroyed like that. But of course, it wasn't just like that, was it? No matter what the failure, ultimately these are a result of secret faults that capitalize and capture a person's heart. They don't just happen. And when people fall, when people fail, it's because of these cracks in the character. And we see that in Samson. And we see how to avoid the spiritual collapse. And that really is the thrust of this message and the theme. I want you to understand that while comeback is possible, God wants you to win in faith and to live your life without major regrets and major moral lapses and collapses in your life. So let's take a look at Samson's life. And in order to do that, you're going to need to turn back once again to the book of Judges. Let's go to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. And first, we meet a spiritual family. And I want to put this in context. Israel participated in a terrible cycle of defeat. There would be rebellion as the children of Israel, God's people, would sin against God. In the book of Judges, the theme of the entire book is every man did what was right in his own eyes. Samson actually becomes a kind of parable of the nation of Israel itself, doing what was right in his own eyes. Well, the people were doing this, and they sinned against God, and thus there was rebellion. And when rebellion took place, God sent retribution, judgment, and typically that was in the form of oppression. Oppressors, as the Philistines in this case, would come and take the land and control the people. And then after years of oppression, the people of God would cry out to God, and there was repentance. And God in His mercy and in His grace would hear their hearts and their cries and their repentance, and then there would be restoration. So God would raise up judges, deliverers, great warriors like Samson, who was one of these, to come and to deliver the people of God and to restore the people. So God had a plan in this process. And here we meet Samson, who had such a great beginning. Judges chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the three tribes of Danites whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore, be careful and drink no wine or strong drink and eat nothing unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb." In other words, he was called to a lifestyle of separation and consecration to God. "And he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines." A Nazarite vow was a voluntary vow taken by many in this day, not to cut the hair. It was temporary, typically, not to cut the hair, not to touch a dead animal, and not to drink any product of the grapevine, wine, or any such substance. Well, Samson was a Nazarite, called and commanded of God to keep this vow all the days of his life. And his birth, in one sense, was a sovereign and supernatural birth. His mother was barren, and yet God gave her this powerful son, a son of strength. He was named Samson. You know what the name Samson means? Sunshine. And God, from his birth forward, worked powerfully in his life. And yet Samson, never quiet till the very end, understood the source of his strength. Now, what was the source of Samson's strength? Why was Samson so strong? Somebody says, I know. It was his long hair. Because when his hair was cut, he was shorn of power. No, his long hair was the sign of his vow and his promise to God, his consecration to God. But his hair was not the source of his strength. It was a symbol of his strength and his consecration to God. The source of his strength was the Holy Spirit of God. For example, let me show you some verses when God moved and the Spirit of God moved powerfully upon Samson, giving him strength. Judges chapter 14, verse 6. "Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat, but he did not tell his father or mother what he had done." The Spirit of God rushed upon him. I actually did want you to see Judges 13 and verse 25, for it says, "The Spirit of the Lord began to stir him." Chapter 13, the Spirit of God stirred him. Chapter 14, verse 6, the Spirit of God rushed upon him and he took a lion apart with his bare hands. Verse 19 of Judges 14, again we read the same words, "And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and struck down 30 men of the town and took their spoil and gave the garments to those who told the riddle. In hot anger, he went back to his father's house." Now you see his strength, but in some ways there's a manipulation of his strength. He's disobeying God in that he took the carcass of this wild animal, this lion, and he found a honeycomb and he touched the wild beast while it was dead. And here he's acting in anger. Though the Spirit of God had moved upon him powerfully to defend the children of Israel, he is acting in white hot heat and anger. Look again in Judges 15 and verse 14. We see this same kind of thing happening. "And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting to meet him. And then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became as flax that has caught fire, and his bonds melted off his hands." I mean, he's like the Incredible Hulk, you know, when that thing happens. So powerful, so strong. But here we see the source of his strength. Not mountains of muscle, not bulging biceps, but the Spirit of God moved upon him. The Spirit of God stirred him. The Spirit of God rushed upon him. Now remember, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, would appear from time to time in different episodes for different experiences to empower God's people. We are grateful now that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, lives within us permanently. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. But in this case, the Spirit of God is moving on his man. So notice what is happening with Samson and his spiritual family. God sovereignly places him in a God-fearing family to deliver his people. And he's working behind the scenes in Samson's life to enable him and to empower him. He's called of God. He's born in this supernatural way. He's separated as a Nazarite and set aside for God's divine purpose and strengthened to fulfill God's plans and purposes in his life and in the nation of Israel.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham. And today's message, comeback faith. God's word is like an extension cord, powering your life day by day. It's the energy source you need to fuel your faith for the long haul and keep moving forward when hard times hit. That's just one of the profound lessons Dr. Graham shares in his book, Reignite, Fresh Focus for an Enduring Faith, which we want to send to you to help fan the flames of faith in your life. This book is our special thanks for your gift to help boldly proclaim God's word through PowerPoint. So request your copy when you call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word REIGNITE to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. And also be sure to sign up for Dr. Graham's podcast, Bible in a Year. Now let's get back to today's message, Comeback Faith.
Born of a spiritual family, to be a spiritual man, and yet things began to change. And this man who was so successful, such a hero, became a zero because of a colossal failure in his life. Cracks in his character begin to formulate. A series of choices and compromises in his life. He became arrogant and rebellious, even towards his parents. One of the first things he did, he went down and married a Philistine woman, which was totally opposed to the laws of God. His parents opposed it, but he did it anyway because he saw her with his eyes, the scripture says, and he wanted her. So his eyes are taking over and his heart is becoming corrupt. Before you know it, his marriage apparently is in trouble and he begins to cavort with prostitutes, trashy girls from the Philistines and others. He fails again and again. He's acting in anger. He's manipulating his own power. He's not giving glory to God for the victories that are being given. There is pride and arrogance, and he is using God rather than being used by God. He had every advantage. Wonderful parents, a great opportunity. The power of God, but his blessings, because of his rebellion, became his downfall. And of course, he thinks he's getting away with it. After all, God's still using him. Apparently, God is still blessing him. And ultimately, in the lap of Delilah, when he finally is taken by the Philistines, he didn't even know that his strength was gone. And there, while he was getting his hair cut in the devil's barbershop, he was taken by the Philistines captive and blinded and bound and treated like an animal. You know, there's some lies about sin you need to remember. Lie number one about sin, everybody's doing it. No, not everybody's doing it. Another lie about sin is I can stop doing this anytime I want. But there's something about sin, especially moral and spiritual collapse, that is addictive and powerful and habit-forming. And you can't stop. Another lie about sin is, well, it won't hurt anyone. And yet sin is so damaging, so destructive, not only to the person, but the people who love the person. Imagine how destructive this was to the people of Israel as well as his own family. And then the other lie about sin is no one's going to find out. So many people who get into sin, especially the sins of moral failure and impurity and immorality, they think they're bulletproof. I mean, when he's in the lap of Delilah and Delilah is seducing him and trying to learn the secret of his strength, you're saying, Samson, you dummy. What's wrong with you? Can't you see what's happening to you? And the answer is no. He's lost all moral perspective and he has no ability to respond because sin now is chewing him up and spitting him out. Here's some lessons we need to learn about this in the colossal failure sample. Realize this, that there is no position that will make you immune from spiritual failure. 1 Corinthians 10, therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. And then understand this, the failure of faith often takes place gradually, not suddenly. We look at a collapse of some kind, a blowout, and we think, how did that happen? This man was walking with God and it just seemingly happened. No, again, secret faults, moral faults, working cracks in the character, gradually, 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 not suddenly. That's so often the way the failures of faith take place. Proverbs 6:27 says, can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Samson's playing with fire and he's burned. Literally, his eyes burned out, gouged out. And the man whose name was Sunshine can no longer see. And then know this, you can't make God's moral standards optional in your life. Purity and power are inseparable. Our strength in Christ is a result of our walk with Christ. And when God says, thou shalt not commit adultery, when God says, you shall not live in immorality, when God says, you shall not sin against me in some specific way that he's given in his word or in some purposeful way that he's challenged us. When we break our vows, when we break our promises to God, the commandments of God, Samson was commanded to keep these vows and he broke these, and these were not optional or voluntary. And they're not in our lives as well. God's standards are not the standards of this world. We are to live above, by the power of God's Spirit, the standards of the secular culture. And then, hear this. A relationship that is immoral and impure brings consequences in your life. Every single time. A relationship that is not right with God has moral, spiritual, damnable consequences in your life. It happened to Samson, and it will happen to anyone who fools around with their faith and their commitment to Christ. Numbers 32, verse 23, be sure your sin will find you out. Galatians 6, 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will also reap. You say, what happened? What happened to this man? What happened to Sunshine? 2 Corinthians 4:4 perhaps describes it. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. Now, though Samson was a believer, there's something about moral sin and impurity and immorality that short circuits the brain. You say, what was I thinking? I'm sure Samson could have never imagined how his powerful life could have turned out. Blind, grinding at the mill. But there came a day when so many of the Philistines, 3,000 plus of them, had gathered to worship their god Dagon. And they said, go get Samson and bring him in here that we may make sport of him, that he could be entertaining to us. So they bring him in. And they put him between two columns. And they're laughing and they're mocking him and his God. He's a fool. He's a clown. He's a circus act. No longer a victor, but a victim of his own failure. But one last thing. We see a potential future for everyone who fails. That failure does not have to be final. Mark this, it's never too late to come back. And you could read about it in the book of Judges and in chapter 16 and verse 23. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon the god and rejoiced. And they said, our God has given Samson our enemy into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God has given our enemy into our hand, the ravager of our country who has killed many of us. And when their hearts were merry, that is, they were drunken, they said, call Samson that he may entertain us. So they bring him in. Now look down at verse 28. And then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one and his left on the other. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And then he bowed with all of his strength, and the house fell upon him and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he had killed during his life. And then his brothers and all his family came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtel in the tomb of Manoah, his father. And he had judged Israel for 20 years. One last time, in his dying moments, he came back to God. You know, when you fall, you can either fall backwards or you can fall forwards. You can fall into grace and mercy if you will lean on the Lord. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, the very fact that Samson's name appears in this hall of heroes is a reminder to us that it's never too late to repent and to come back. If you will pray what Samson prayed, Lord, remember me. He can lift earth's saddest failures and give you a brand new beginning. Make Samson's last prayer your prayer today.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Comeback Faith. In his book, Reignite, Fresh Focus for an Enduring Faith, Dr. Graham shares painful but profound lessons he learned during a dark night of the soul he experienced years ago. We want to help you face your own struggles with faith that endures by sending you a copy of this powerful book. Discover biblical insights that will help you focus on Jesus when life feels overwhelming so you can make the most of your years on earth. Reignite comes as our thanks for your support today to help reach more people through PowerPoint. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word REIGNITE to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. And also be sure to sign up for Dr. Graham's podcast, Bible in a Year. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint?
Tragically, we've all heard stories about pastors and church leaders who seem to just suddenly suffer a moral collapse. We've heard of husbands and wives who surprisingly, shockingly walk out on their families. And it seems to come right out of nowhere. But of course, it really wasn't all that sudden after all.
when you really look inside the situation, no matter what the failure, ultimately it was the result of private secret faults that weakened and eroded the ever-deepening cracks in the person's character. Now, we see this in Hebrews 11 and in the Old Testament played out tragically in the life of Samson. As a Nazarite, Samson was dedicated to serving and protecting God's people. He had God-given extraordinary physical strength as long as he depended upon the Lord. But in the end, Samson failed to tend to the flaws in his character, and he chose earthly pleasure over divine devotion. Samson was eventually overcome by his lustful passions and pleasures and foolishly gave away his strength and gave away his life and enabled his enemy to subdue him. Blind and weak and chained like a wild animal as a result, Samson asked God for one more chance to serve him. And in God's grace, in God's goodness, the Lord heard his prayer. So in one final burst of divine strength, Samson made a comeback and destroyed the oppressors who held him captive. And though Samson died in this valiant display of strength, he didn't die in failure. Samson died living out his faith through God's redemptive grace. So even in spite of his failures, his terrible failures, he is named among those commended in Hebrews 11, God's Hall of Faith. He remains a hero today because he was able to come back by faith. So as you think about life today, are there cracks in your character? Now that's a serious question. I'm saying, are there any sins, secret sins that only you and God know about that could potentially wreck your life? If so, I pray you'll have the courage to share your struggles with God, with your spouse, with a trusted Christian friend, or maybe go talk to your pastor and get prayer, get help right now. My prayer is that your story will be like Samson's story, that no matter where you've been, what you've done, and how defeated you may have become, you can end in victory. You can end well. You can begin again today. A comeback is possible. So if you have failed God, there's always time for a new beginning in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be born again.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's book, Reignite, as our thanks for your support today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word Reignite to 59789. And join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about how God can renew and restore your broken dreams. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.